Hey guys, welcome to Let Me Talk Podcast Season 4, Episode 100. I cannot believe I've made it to 100 episodes. This is incredible. I do apologize for the delay in uploading episode 100. I've just been filming my documentary on epilepsy and it's just been a little bit crazy. Schedule has been a little bit all over the place, but I'm glad that we're here and I'm glad that you guys get to hear this episode. It was such a fun episode to film. And of course, Jessica Orchik, who is this episode's guest, is one of my favorite human beings on this planet, and there's just so much to talk about with her and so much to still learn about each other. Surprisingly, I learned some cool things about Jess and her journey in the entertainment industry, and even before she was in the entertainment industry. But before you guys listen to this episode, I just want to say a little bit about what she does. She is a performer, producer, philanthropist, and an actor. She is the daughter of John and Paula, who are very well-known actors in Australia, from back in the 80s. It is incredible to me how much her family as a whole do to help other actors and creatives and just the general public. Like, they just do so much to help other people, and it really doesn't shock me the amount of things that Jess does for other artists, because she comes from two parents who do the exact same. So I am so excited to have her on here today. Finally, she's been constantly mentioned throughout this podcast journey and all these episodes that I've had, past students, current students, and other, you know, people that we have connected with and she has connected me to. So it was only fitting to make her episode 100. Without giving anything else away, let's get into this episode.
Hello. One and only Jessica Orchik. Is it right?
You've been only waiting for 100 apps. Kidding.
Yeah, well, it's been a long time.
I know. But, well, you know, you got to save those moments, Zoe. You got to get to you got to pick and choose your time. So, like, this is it. This was the time.
We hyped you up for 99 episodes.
Aww.
We've got you here. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm very excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
We start with a rapid fire on the podcast. Not sure if you've heard, but if you haven't, you're a little bit in the dark because I didn't give you anything to prepare you.
Great. Throw it at me. No, that's all right. So
I'll throw it at you. It's rapid fire, but, you know, if you're like Rob, you take a while to answer the questions. Rob took a while.
Listen, you know, we are one in the same, but we're also very, very different. So, like, yeah, hit me. I'm going to think on my feet and give you the best I got, Zoe.
Amazing. First one is, who is an actor or an entertainer that you look up to the most?
Oh, Drew Barrymore. Easy. Snailed it.
This is going to be so funny because I know so much, but, like, you might shock me.
Yeah. No, Drew Barrymore, 100%. I think I have an affinity with her being a child actor, like I was, and growing up in the business, and also, I guess, losing your way a lot, which, you know, happened to me throughout my, you know, young adulthood and into early adulthood, and then finding a way to reboot that and continue on having a thriving career. And the thing that I respect most about her is her vulnerability, her generosity. I mean, the fact that she's now this talk show host and she puts herself out for so many people to see in the most real way. I would absolutely aspire. I mean, I think I would bawl in a room if I met her, just because I just think she's that person. Almost as much as Madonna, but, like, totally different for different reasons.
Because they're totally different people. Ends of the spectrum, I reckon.
Totally. But yeah, that's the big thing I love about Drew, and, you know, the way that she's overcome adversity in her life is a big thing that I think I'm still understanding about myself. You know, because I feel like the older I get, and I do get older, the adversity, it doesn't necessarily, like, the challenges and the people that come into your life, and sometimes they're not very good people, but, you know, it's how you overcome that that's really says a lot about an individual. And I think the way that she has done that in her life is so admirable. You know, and I hope that I can somehow lead in that example with other people in my life. So yeah.
Oh, sure, for sure you're doing that. You're doing that in spades.
Oh. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No, I like Drew though. Drew's a good one. Madonna's a good one too. So either one. It's a good choice.
And totally different. Madonna's just a boss. Yeah, she's a boss. She does what she wants to do. She, you know, makes no apologies. I need to learn more of that. I need to embrace more of that, I think, and be like, listen, I'm just going to do this because this is what I want to do, you know?
But I feel like you do that. Just... I feel like you do that so much already. Not like, not in a bad way, but like you do do it. You have that in you.
I do. I absolutely do. I would say, though, that I'm not as fearless as I would like to be, you know, and I think I'm learning that about myself, or at least I'm being more vulnerable when I say that, when I reveal that to people, because I think from the outside, my exterior to people is like, oh my God, she'll just do anything. She'll like go there. And that's true. I will. But there's also a lot of things that I don't do because of the fear of what happens if I do it. And I am working through that very much. Specifically now, I think in my life, hitting, you know, a certain age where you're like, okay,
you are not a certain
time.
Age is just time. A number. Like, how many times have we had that convo? Age is just a number.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know,
I'm almost 29 an and I feel like I'm still 18. I feel like I'm still youthful.
Oh, old. But, you know, 30s are a great chapter. I admire any woman that's going into their 30s and tell them to embrace that, because the 30s are an incredible, incredible decade. I loved my 30s.
Well, the next question is film or TV? What do you prefer to watch?
Oh, film. Easy.
Really?
Yeah, I love indie film.
Hmm.
I mean, it's where my happy place is. Like, even my, like, what I call, like, my comfort films, if I'm looking for comfort, I'll go to my films. And like, there are comfort TV shows without a doubt, but most of the time, just because I'm so busy, and I make this is a joke, but this is so true, television is a big commitment, and it is because it's longer, and you know, and you're in it for like it's just, there's a lot more to do, there's a lot more to get through, especially when you pick certain shows that go on for like 7-8 seasons, you know, you're in there for a while. But film, it's like you can get this, like, you can go, oh my God, you know what, I really feel like watching, I want to watch this, and you kind of get this taste and this boost. And so, yeah, I love film, and I love making film for that same purpose. So,
well, the next one will probably be really obvious because you just mentioned it, but blockbuster or indie, what do you prefer to watch?
Indie. Yeah. They're, I feel like indie filmmakers are the heart and soul of storytelling. I feel like blockbusters are the bread and butter for the production industry, and it makes a lot of sense why we make them, because they do inject a lot of income into the economy. But, you know, if you're a storyteller at heart and that's what you want to do, live in the indie space. The indie space is, you know, and the best thing about the indie space is you can create an indie film that becomes a blockbuster, and it's not intentional, but all of a sudden, like, you get this huge audience around it, and people get so excited and they just dive right in. So that's awesome.
Amazing. And the last one is, when are you most inspired?
Oh, when?
This can be anything. Like, I've had so many different answers, like where you are, like who you're with, like whatever. It's open.
Do you know what? I was going to say that. I'm actually going to give credit to my hometown of Los Angeles, because it is my hometown. It's where I live. It's not where I was born, but it is.
You were going to say Sydney, and I was like, oh my God.
I was born in Melbourne. We have this conversation as well. right?
Stop claiming it. You were born in Melbourne. You lived here for 2 minutes. You're not a Melbourneiter.
Lived there for 5 years. Lived there for 5 years, lived on the Gold Coast for 5 years, and lived in Sydney in the in-between time. So I have actually spread myself, and I moved to LA when I was 20. So I actually haven't lived in Sydney as long as I think. I don't claim that I'm from anywhere in Australia. I claim that I'm a nomad that lived everywhere, because I feel like there's parts of me that live in every single one of those states because of the memories that I carry. Like school, or, you know, when my parents did Paradise Beach on the Gold Coast, or when I was born growing up in Melbourne, like that was like my early childhood. And that was a very like pivotal time when my parents were really pretty famous at that point as well. But yeah, LA is like, okay, it's there is inspiration everywhere. And sometimes you take it for granted because you're in a day to day and you're like dealing with whatever roller coaster happens, and there are so many that happen. But then you'll get in the car and you'll drive down the 101 and you'll pass Universal, or you'll see a billboard and on Sunset, and I don't know, you'll have this kind of small snippet reminder that you worked really hard to get to the place that you dreamt of, and that you live in this land of dreams called Hollywood and Los Angeles, and that you can really, you know, anything happens and changes in a day. And that's the best part about it. And whilst it is, and I never want to ever take this away, because I think people live in that fantasy a lot where they're like, they forget that it's really, really hard. I know you know that. You've had experience. Remember when you were living here and, you know, and you idolize and you put, you know, LA on this pedestal, and then all of a sudden you get here and then you're doing jobs that you wouldn't do, and then there's like, you know, you're dealing with problems that you would normally deal with, and there's like, you know, and it becomes quite overwhelming because there's a lot of
but you
big
walk in with this,
in this town.
Sense of delusion, and then you quickly confronted with reality, you know, unless you're coming in with something already, like unless you're coming in with a role booked, you're most likely going to end up working somewhere you don't want to work.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And I'm not trying to be negative, but like, it's the truth. It's how
No, but it is. And it's one of the reasons that we built After, or I built After, is because I had wished that someone was able to introduce me to the truth of what LA is before I made the decisions to move, you know, because no one told me that. Like when I got my O-1 visa, there was no one helping me with that. And when I did move at 20, I arrived and I got dropped by my agent the day that I arrived, and like I like yeah this is all true. And then,
story,
and then I had like no other opportunities for jobs, so I was like didn't really know how to get myself around, so I was getting like really dicey jobs on Craigslist, which was like back then this thing that you'd go to get jobs. And you know, no one was helping me, and I was partying a lot, and it was just a giant mess. And then I got really sick, and then there was like I had no health insurance.
The
was
vibe.
Like
Isn't
I mean,
the
there
vibe?
Was a whole that whole year of my life, like
I don't
shout
think
out
I ever
to,
traveled with travel insurance to America until I like moved over.
Yeah,
how
no,
scary is
no,
that?
No. Yeah, it is because when you're in the emergency room with cellulitis and you're looking at a, you know, a $75,000 hospital bill, which I'm actually fairly sure we got and my mum paid. I would actually have to check that
really?
Out, but I'm pretty sure she did. Yeah,
but
she
she
had
probably
to, because I
like you'd still have that now.
Yeah.
I don't give up.
But yeah, it's definitely a lot. So
but
going
it's definitely
back, talking
yeah,
about
it's
these,
an inspirational that, place.
It is. It is. You know, like I said, today was one of those days where something like happens to you and you're like, wow, you know, we got basically the LA Sparks, which is the women's WNBA basketball team, have partnered with a number of like grant programs, because we've been like sort of after specifically has been immersing ourselves in grant programs because of like the strike, and there's been like a lot of hardships in the industry, as everybody knows, like it's like no big secret. And we've been really trying to build our what we want to do. And, you know, we got told today that they want to honor me as a female business, small business owner.
Look at
yeah.
you. Look at you go.
I know.
This is news
know,
to me, people. News to me, if you're listening.
Well, news just dropping. And so they're coming out to film, you know, our Young Actors Conservatory, which is great. There's literally a group of young women in there, which I love, because this just goes to me with everything I'm talking about, which is supporting women in our industry, supporting women filmmakers and actors, and helping people grow into the artists that they want to be. But they're coming out to film and do an interview, and then we're going to a game, and they're gonna like do like an honorary thing. And so, yeah, I was like, I was really taken back. I've never really been honored for anything before. And I was like, oh wow. And it was, you know, it was because of the work that I do for artists and actors, and for in particular women. And I feel very, very chuffed. But it's also that thing of like, that's inspired. Like right now I feel so inspired. I feel the most inspired. Ooh, and I don't know if anyone's like into numerology, but I just saw 222. So that was also like,
you're so funny.
Career energy. Yeah.
Career. Sorry, bringing the energy.
I'm going on a woo-woo.
You are going on a woo-woo. But your woo-woos are nice. I like your woo-woos sometimes. They can be nice. That's amazing. That's great. Definitely. Well, let's go back to the beginning, because we've got to get to know you. There's people on here that have no idea who you are. You're mentioned on the podcast, but I don't know who's listening. You know, someone from Ireland is listening. They don't know who you are.
So great.
What's your early beginnings? Obviously, your parents are like, back in the day, were like the Brad and Angelina of Australia.
they legit were. That's what I say. They're the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie of Australian television.
In your blood. It's been in your blood. So we don't even need to question whether you were actually originally going to do acting, or if there was something else in mind. I feel like you've never had anything else in your sights.
No, I've never. Yeah, I've always been a performer, and I say a performer because I was acting and I was dancing. You know, at the age of four as well, dance was a big part of my life. And they met on a television show in the 80s called Cop Shop, and they literally like blew up the screens. Mum went on to win, like, in her career, 7 Logies, and for those people that don't know what that is, it's like an equivalent to 7 Emmys of Australia. So you know, big career. And my dad obviously runs a very prestigious acting school that he's run for years, and I would say most of the students or people that have been on here have probably graced Tafta's doors and then Aftas doors, and then there's like this like connection there.
Crossover
for sure. My dad has been very influential in a lot of acting careers, people starting out, which I think is pivotal to who he is. He really cares about actors. It's one of his passions. So they, you know, found each other within this crazy entertainment industry, and then thus I came into the world. First acting job was 4 years old on Richmond Hill, where I played
a boy.
I played a boy. They cut off my hair. It was a whole thing. They had a whole bowl cut. It was a thing.
The fact that they thought that you could pass as a boy really shows really how far we've come.
Listen, I've heard this is not the only person that this happened to. I can't think of, I was watching something else and someone else was telling me that they played a boy. And I was like, huh? That's crazy.
Like, you look like a boy? Was it the haircut that made it more boyish? Because I feel like,
I guess, yeah. Well, the concept of
you look like a boy.
Exactly. I think the concept of the storyline was that I was lost and they thought I was a little boy, and they took me because my name was like, God, I can't remember. It was like, I mean, it was a long time ago, but it was like, if it was like Alexander and they called me Alex, or Chris,
and
they called me Chris, right?
Yeah.
So I would say what my name was, and they thought I was a boy. And then by the end of the episode, they realized I was actually a little girl that was missing. And then there was this whole thing. But like, yeah, it's, I mean, crazy. For those storylines back then, I mean, that was in the 80s, late 80s, you know, that's like.
Yeah, that's as far as I remember. Things. It was different, very different. But then you went on Home and
Very
Away,
different.
which I've watched the Home and Away clip. That's a laugh. It's a bit of a laugh
We should
there.
never share that with anyone.
Oh,
Yeah, that was
I
I
might
was
do it
like,
in the promo clips. I'll find it and
no,
promo
thanks. We'll leave that buried, my small stint on Home and Away.
It was good
I did Home and
though.
Away, but I did a mini series that was on Channel 9 that my dad wrote and my mum starred in called Academy, which was essentially about Tafta, but it wasn't Tafta. Oh, well, it might have been Tafta then. Yeah,
But was
true
Taft
story.
around then?
Yeah, Tafta started. Dad actually first had a school in Parramatta called Taps, which was like a playhouse, like he was really big into theatre. And then that stemmed into Tafta. And I think Tafta started on the Gold Coast. And I must have been, I think I was like 10 or 11 when he actually officially started it. And we
Wow.
did that mini series for Channel 9. I remember it was the funniest thing. They weren't going to let me read to play myself. And I really wasn't going to have that because I was like, there's no one that's going to play me better than me. And they're like, but you're too old. This is like set a few years ago and you can't do this right now. And I remember going into the reading, which was like the stage reading, and like Tony Bonner was there, and mum had a bunch of big people that were like kind of like Australian celebrities that she was working with on Paradise Beach and stuff like that. So the room was pretty filled, and I like marched in there and read for my role, and I read really, really well, that they just knew they couldn't cast anyone else to play myself but me. So I was like,
Mean,
I got to
well, you
play me.
showed him. You
Yeah,
showed.
I was like, yeah, this is where it is. And so I was 12 when I did that. I mean, there was also a bunch of plays and I went from obviously Richmond Hill into doing a bunch of theatre, up until the age of 12, and then did Academy and went from Academy into Me, Myself, I, which was like a movie with Rachel Griffiths, and then I did Home and Away off the back of that.
Bloody
And then
soaring through the shows and the
Yeah,
movies.
well, yeah. I mean, I kind of got a taste of everything. By the time I was like 20, I'd actually had a taste of, feature films, TV shows, theater. I think I was 18 when I did a play that toured twice over two consecutive years. The first year I did it, I was in it. Tempany Deckett and I were kind of like doing the same role, so we were like sharing the role, which was kind of exciting because she was just like hot off like Home and Away, so it was quite big. And then the following year when they toured the show, I don't remember what, I think she might have actually been moving to LA because she lives here now. So she said no, but then I continued on. So, I did like a whole tour, which was
That's
great.
so
And that was
cool.
with like Melbourne. That was all like, we got rave reviews. It was an American play. So this should have been my insight that I was going to get to America. It was an American play, did an American accent. Yeah, and that went on for like a few years. And so yeah, so there was a lot of those things where I was like, I would have like these, like one opportunity would lead to another opportunity. And then I think that's when my obsession with the States kind of started, and I just knew that I was meant to go. I went when I was 13 after my grandmother died. And Mum house some we did something a fundraiser, and we somehow won these tickets that well, my grandfather actually won the tickets, and he gave them to Mum and myself, and we went over to see my aunt, who was also an actress here in the US. So talking about the family being immersive. And I think it was like as soon as I got here, I was like, oh no, this is it. This is where I'm
Stay.
coming back to. Yeah, this is where I'm going back to. So, and then, like I said, so once that play happened, I was like, what else? And then I went from the play into Son of the Mask, which was honestly a life-changing movie that I did. Not necessarily a life-changing role, but a life-changing movie, because I auditioned as a lead dancer in it, which was the first. One of the major dance gigs that I ever went for, which was crazy to me. And I did so well in the auditions, which was, I guess talking about fear, right? I was always so afraid I was not gonna be that dancer, that was really gonna really make it. So I held back on dance a lot. And then when I got in there and I worked it, they were like, no, she's fantastic. And they said to me, listen, we can't You know, the choreographers came up to me when they were choosing. And actually one of my dear friends got selected for that, who I'm still friends with today. Her and I danced together for many, many years. She runs a school on the Gold Coast still, Michelle Hopper from Launch. She's awesome. Shout out to her. But she booked one of the dancers, and I was talking to the choreographers from that, and they're like, listen, we loved what you did, and we really want you to stay on. We're going to invite a bunch of these dancers to do this big dance sequence, and you know, we'll give you as many opportunities in this film as we can. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And I didn't actually realize what those opportunities were going to be, but they held true to that. I was in stunt doubling, I did like body doubling, I did like you know, green
That's
screen. Like they
incredible.
just kept they kept calling me for like whatever they could. And I was like, great. So I was, you know, I built a great relationship with them and the director and Jamie Kennedy, who was, you know, big at the time. And then they all said, you know, you need to move to LA. Like you've that's where you're supposed to be. And we're gonna help you do that, which is crazy because you never really you hear about people's stories where people are like, I'm going to help you get somewhere because we believe that that you're meant to be there. So,
And then they're like, and then they drop the ball. So it's always refreshing when someone doesn't drop the ball.
that's it. And so that's what literally exactly what they did. They introduced me to Kate Rayner, who I still have a relationship with also to this day, who has an immigration firm. And she did my first O1, and I got it as an actor though, because they were trying to get at me obviously as a dancer because I'd just done all the dance work and the body work and all of that stuff, but I didn't have anywhere near the credits that I had as an actor. So I got my O1 as an actor, and then I moved to LA, and then it starts a whole nother journey, Zoe. I mean, that's the
Is that
beginning
when
of it.
we
That's
met?
just
No, you'd come back and then gone back again. Because you didn't
yeah,
even live
I.
in LA when we met.
No, yeah, I moved to LA for a year. I lived in LA for a full year, and then a friend of mine very, very smartly said to me, you need to go home. Because
Off you go.
I was, yeah, Natasha, she did. She said, you need to go home, mate. LA is not agreeing with you after 12 months. And she was very, very right. So I did. I came back home, but that's when I actually started teaching, funny enough. It's like I came back home, and I think within a year I'd opened a performing arts school. I opened JO Studios, because I was like, again, how do I help people do that? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do I help people do that? Because, you know, it's one thing to come over and I say that living here now, it's one thing for people to come over and experience LA and go on a lovely holiday and take a couple of classes and go, oh, I love it. But it's another thing to actually know what has to go into you moving there. And not just moving here, but surviving here. Like, you know,
Because it's
because it
more than what you see. Like, people have that picture of like, oh yeah, like it's so nice and it's such a great place. And it is, but like when you live there, you know what it's like. When you go over there as a tourist, you're not getting the real bits. You're not getting like working in Hollywood, in the middle of Hollywood, like I was, and then
in
going 10
Starbucks.
minutes down the road and you're in Beverly Hills, a completely different place. And I was getting most of like that anyway, because I was working in Beverly Hills and then right in Hollywood. And the difference is, it's
I
like
know.
not even that far apart, but it's like in Beverly Hills, you actually feel like you're in some sort of like normal civilization. And you go to Hollywood Boulevard and you're like, what the fuck is this place? Like, people just like, let's not like get crazy, but people taking, you know, doing their thing on in the toilet on the floor when there's a toilet there, it's just not unwell, very unwell.
I meant there's literally I want to know who it was. There was a student that was over here doing the LA experience when we started it out, and then so funny. And I remember it was like the ultimate Hollywood photo because they're like traipsing through Hollywood Boulevard, and there's the stars behind them, and they're like, "Yay, I'm here!" And then in the background is this, you know, homeless man
Mean,
doing a
sounds
shit
so
in
bad, but
doing a
like,
shit in a pizza box. But no, but like that
That's the real the reality. Yeah, like it's not it's not what you see on the screens. Like no city you go to that you see on TV, or even if you don't, like Melbourne, the same. Sydney, it's like, yeah, you get nice bits of the cities. And then, but then when you actually live there, it's different. You experience something else.
100%. It's like the... I think it's just because it is such a land for dreamers. Everyone is like seeing this, you know, from the outskirts, especially in Australia. I mean, that's the thing that I think calls us there, because I think people that innately in Australia feel like Australia is too small for what they want to do. Like there's like a search for an adventure. And so you come to a place like LA or even New York. I also lived in New York through periods of time when I was living in the States. And I, you know, you do see this big place, but you learn very quickly that your perception or your expectations are not reality.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a really important part about who I am as a person and why I teach and the way I do business. Because I feel like, unfortunately, there's still a lot of us as artists and creatives. And, you know, in a way, I don't think you can be an artist and creative without having a sense of delusion in a way, because like that's what
keeps
you.
You got to live like 50% of your life in Delulu as an artist.
Yeah.
For sure, you're going to be a Delulu, because if you're not, like, you're just going to go and be a normal, you're not going to stick at it. You got to be delusional. Delusional
100%.
To the point where you, like, and you think I'm delusional, and I like that. I like that I'm delusional.
No, but I would say everyone is. I'm delusional to a sense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here I am at my age and still, like, you know,
but it's
like,
not even
I mean,
delusional.
I evolve and
you're
no,
a
but
big
it's
dreamer.
Not a bad thing.
You're a dreamer.
Like, it's exactly.
Yeah, that's
but,
a better
you know,
word, because delusional can have negative, like, connotations to that. Let's not call ourselves dreamers. Dreamers. I'm a dreamer.
But dreamers, keeping your heads in the clouds. But also in passing to that, I think you get 50% of yourself that's like that. And then 50% needs to have that grounding in reality. Like, this is going to be hard. I need to work at this. People are not just going to hand things to me. I mean, I still make the joke. I do. Like, I was at a premiere last night meeting a bunch of people. It was really kind of fun. And I make the joke about nepotism, and I was like, oh, you know what, apparently there was this nepotism email that went out, or back then when I was at that age, like, you know, memo or whatever you wanted to call it. I must have missed it that day, because it didn't work in my career the way that it's worked for a lot of other people. So I must have been sick or out of the office.
No, that is so not true.
But it is
really?
I never my parents, neither of my parents wanted me to do this, and they did not open doors the way you would think. I mean, I'm being really honest. There is literally a thing on the Today Show that they did on me when I was like 9 or something, talking about me entering the industry. And both of my mum and dad were sitting there saying, they do not open doors for me. They do not give me opportunities.
Do you think that was a better thing though? Now looking back, I mean, having all that perspective.
I don't know. I guess it's different career spans, but then I look at like some people, like, if you know, like, no judgment whatsoever, but obviously, you know, Samara Weaving's had a lot of opportunity because of Hugo, or like if you take Maya Hawke because of, like, you know, Ethan, and you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's made me a more determined person personally, because my parents were never necessarily like, oh yes, well, we'll just put my daughter in this, or my daughter's a great actor and I just want to give her the opportunities. They didn't want me to have the struggles that they did. That was their whole point. But
yeah, they were coming
still
it up
back
the perspective that they knew, like, what it was like
for
them.
100%. And it was hard. So they didn't want me to do it. But there was nothing else that I was built to
different
do,
generation,
you know?
As well. Like,
oh, very much so.
Like, it's
kind
very,
of very
just
much
hard
so.
To like compare like the nepo babies now to like you, I guess. I'm not saying that you're old or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, it's
well,
like,
and you know what,
you know what
the
I mean,
funny
your
thing
parents
was,
are from like the different generation that didn't have as much support.
There wasn't also as many in the Australia. That was the hardest thing about me growing up. There weren't a lot of kids like me at my age. Which is why I don't think I ever felt like I belonged in Australia, you know, and I still kind of think that might have been true, you know. It, long story, like, you know, I'm here at the end. It doesn't mean I don't love Australia or I don't want to help Australians, because honestly, I give the most back to that country and the
You
people
do.
within it than I do anyone else, because it's my home, you know, like my actual, like, you know, it's shaped me to be the person I am. But I don't know if I was meant to be there and to do the things that I would have done, because people didn't value or understand what it was like to look at the world through, like, A, a child actor's eyes, B, a kid of celebrities' eyes, and especially a kid of celebrities' eyes in a country that didn't necessarily have a large population of celebrities. It wasn't like I was a child of celebrities in the middle of Hollywood growing up in the 80s or 90s, because there was a lot of them, you know, like, and that's kind of why you get drawn. Like, you know, it's why one of my dear friends, like,
It's a
Gina
different world.
Cassavetes, well, yeah, it's why her and I bonded, you know, really quickly, because we were both like, we both grew up with these lives just on opposite sides of the world. But yeah, it's, I think that was the thing. I just didn't, it didn't fit. It wasn't the right glove for me. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough, you know. I needed the challenge, and I needed the freedom to really express my voice on a bigger platform. And I've always believed, and I still do believe, that, you know, LA gives me that.
Is that why one of the main reasons why you came back, why you went back to LA to do TAFTA, like to start kind of afresh and
So that was kind of a weird transition. Yeah, I initially started because I had the school, I had JO Studios, and I was teaching dance, and I was very heavily into dance through a lot of my, like, 20s. You know, I was very big into choreography and performing arts. I was doing events for performing arts. I was doing events for disabilities. Like, it's when I did Don't Do Disabilities and stuff like that. So I mean, I was very passionate about performing arts. And I started to travel to New York, actually, because that's when I was living in New York. And I was living in New York on and off for about 5 years. And I was living over there, I don't honestly say about 6 months of every year, because I would be taking groups of students over there, or I would be training over there. It's when I got accepted into the Broadway Dance Center and I did a program. And I kind of just kept getting this taste of this other world, and it kind of just sort of ignited a fire. And then I wasn't necessarily into acting at that point, but Dad called and he was like, "Listen, I know you're in New York, but I've got this program that I'm running in LA, and I need a bit of help. You want to go out there and work for me for a few weeks?" And it was only supposed to be like a small thing, and, you know, I mean, it was money, and I was like, "Yep, great,
Do
yes,
it.
please." And I'd been teaching. I'd done, you know, I was still, like, you know, back. TAFTA had just started back home. TAFTA was all actually next door to my studio at that time. We had a premises in St. Leonard's in Sydney, and I had my dance school on one side, and TAFTA had their studio on the other. So Dad and I were like, you know, and my brother was actually running it at the time. So it was a very, very much a family affair. But then when I went to LA, oh, shout out, another shout out, important shout out, because she's actually about to be in Australia. And if you haven't booked into her program, you should. I met the illustrious and wonderful Amy Chafee, who honestly changed my life. She, because I think I had decided at that time that acting wasn't something I wanted to do, and I never wanted to live in LA because of that first year that I'd had when I was 20 and everything went wrong, and I was like, "Oh no, LA's not for me." And I'm going to be a dancer in New York, and I'm going to be a performing artist, and I'm going to do this. And she, as a good voice teacher does, just started, you know, analyzing me in class, asking me to say my name in an American accent, and then, like, basically was like, "Why do you struggle to feel heard?" And I remember in class just
Breaking down.
crying. Like, yeah.
Literally
And the
feels.
tears fell, and there was just so much in that question for me. And I was like, "Oh my God." And then there was this whole layer of stuff that I hadn't really ever understood about myself being a child of actors. And she did. She spoke to me in a way that I hadn't had anyone speak to me before. And I think it was because she was from LA, and she's like, you know, there's a lot of people like you, like, and this is what you do. And like, she just opened up this door for me. And then I sort of said, well, you know, but I think I'm too old, because at that point I decided I was like mid to late 20s or something. And I was like, I decided I was too old to act, you know. I was like, and I'm just, you know, I'm too
That's
old.
Such
and,
craziness.
Uh-huh. I honestly, there was a belief system. I was like, I was done. And she was like, what are you going on about? And then so she just rebooted it. And then, you know, then I saw this opportunity, because I was like, well, what if I shifted my focus and I started working as an actor? And but, you know, obviously to do that in LA, it's hard. You can't just kind of like, it's like going back to that reality versus thing. You can't just turn up and say, I'm an actor in LA today and I'm just going to do acting here. And, you know, unless you got lots and lots of money up your sleeve. And not
but even
do.
That's hard. Like, you could have as much money in the world. Doesn't mean the agents, that is just going to look at you. Like, they're just be like, you're just another person that also has money in LA. Like, the amount of people that have money like in LA is a lot.
100%. So, yeah. So then I thought, well, I kind of rebuilt this program out for Dad, and he loved what I was doing. He loved the teachers I was bringing in. The kids were happy. And he just sort of said, you know, why don't you do this? So I run this program twice a year.
And that's how we met. And that's how craziness forms.
It really actually was, though. He's like, I run this twice a year, and I'll help you to do this. And I got to have the bonus of then doing this program, but then training and meeting these people and building these relationships. And when I got there, then I was like very determined, because I was like, well, I'm going to meet all these agents and managers. So I just started emailing people saying, hi, you know, my name is Jessica Orchick, and I'm, you know, managing Taft USA, and talking about my dad and my family, and, you know, and then I built it out.
You really did.
Really
it was
did.
Still like the most intense one, though, at Tafta, like the way you did it, like the way it was, like the 6 weeks, like literally 5 days a week, 9 to 9. That was probably the most intense, because we had to cram in so much in a short
time. The 6 week programmers, those of you that are out there listening that remember it, and Rob talks about it all the time, I mean, I slammed you guys. I was like, you want information? Here's information. And it was like,
but we were just
like
lucky
10,
that it
10
was
10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at like,
we were lucky it was at like Oakwood. We were just lucky that it, where we were, was in the same location, like where we were living was in the same location as the classes.
Yeah, you just get up and go to class and then back down Oakwood.
Yeah, and like everyone starts out like makeup, hair, and then you get to like midweek and first week, they're like, nah, stuff that, can't do it anymore.
Yeah, can't be bothered. So yeah, so it was, and it was that, and then obviously when I won my green card, it was a natural progression that I had built this program out, and you know, I spoke to Dad about it, and it made sense for me to turn this thing that I had built into something that I could really transform into a different business, you know. And so that's when Tafta became Tafta.
Yeah, but what, like, I mean, it's because you didn't really do mentoring and stuff from the get-go, what inspired you to want to help other people? Like, I know that's such a cliche question, but it's like, your parents helped a lot of people, like your dad.
Yeah.
Did you see that and go, I mean, that exact same thing? Because your mum does it too, with fundraising and all that kind of stuff as well.
Oh my God, I know. They both are. They're both very, actually generous, very generous people with things they're passionate about. And so definitely I think it was in the blood. But I think, personally speaking, my heart was always in, I guess I never, whilst they were doing what they did, and they did amazing things and do amazing things for a lot of people, I didn't feel as their child. Oh, I don't want to get emotional, but I can feel that. Yeah. That they didn't necessarily do that for me. So, and then I thought, well, who's helping people like me? Do you know what I mean? Who is actually doing that? And what I meant by that is, who's helping the delusional or the dreamers, however we want to put it, you know what I mean? Who's helping the people that feel that Australia is too small and they want something bigger? Who's helping the people that don't feel seen and heard? You know, who's helping them? Who's, how can I, shout out Amy Chafee, but how can I be like an Amy Chafee and give people a purpose and an opportunity and help them find who they are? And finding out who you are, by the way, is not necessarily just acting. I just want to point this out because acting is a gateway drug. I generally believe it. I think finding out who you are, I
It
do.
truly
I
is.
do. I
You
do.
have to go
I'm finding
outside of it too. You have to see who you are outside of it. But it also,
because.
acting brings in the outside. Acting brings in the travel. Like you have a braveness to go out and live outside of your where you're from as well.
100%. Like, I think acting is this incredible thing that allows you to explore all these different facets of yourself as a person and figure out what it is that you actually want out of life or what it is that you feel that you need. And for me, it's helping people look at this bigger picture where acting is a part of who they are, but it isn't all that they are. And getting people to realize that there is so much more opportunity on hand. And if you're a storyteller or an entrepreneur or a philanthropist, you're going to find yourself in the creativity regardless. You know what I mean? So it's how do I, and a business person, I actually want to add to that because, you know, I also feel like we don't always, as artists, we're always afraid of the business word, but business has been the thing that's been able to sustain me in the arts, you know, understanding business and knowing what business is. And like, that's the thing that people don't teach you know? And so again, I never had that when I moved here. I never had that person helping me do that. And I never felt that, you know, because I wasn't, and I talk back to my dance years, I didn't have the perfect technique and I wasn't the perfect physique. And you know, at the time growing up, there were so many boxes I was always constantly being told that I didn't tick. You know, well, you don't fit into that one, or no, you can't do that role, or you can't do this. Like it was a constant battle for me. So self-image has been a big part of my life. Which is obviously why, you know, I had a lot of anxiety and depression, and you know, I like became a youth spokesperson for suicide because there was a lot of issues that I had like that when I was a kid because I felt very, very alone. And so, but that's why I wanted to help
Did you feel
because
like
I
you've,
did, because yeah, I feel like there's so many people out there that feel alone and they're not. And all I wanted to do was be a voice and help them find out who they are and make them realize they're not alone and that they're supported and that they can go out and achieve anything they want to. You know, it's just
And you
having
do
one
that.
person to believe in you.
You have done that. Definitely, definitely. I can say that. Like you, even, I mean, what, how old was I when I met you? Like 19. I think I was 19 years old.
Well,
And that's,
you started this podcast because I told you to start a podcast.
the real founder, people. We've found her. She's the real founder of Let Me Talk. Yes, no, but I'm saying like you have done that. There's so many people that you've built in the com that you've thought to be a part of the community, like teachers, students, and there's something that special with Tafta and after being connected in a way, because there's not really that many acting schools or performing arts schools that do that. They don't have like a sister school where everyone's connected. You know, if you've met someone at Tafta, or even if you haven't and you've met them like at after, you know, it's like everyone knows like Tafta and after. And
Yeah.
you know Jess and John, and you know, and it's not, there's, and there's also not many acting schools that touch on the business side and are realistic. So I think that's the difference. There's a sense of real, and you feel like at home. You feel at home even if you're like in LA, you know what I mean? You feel like you have that
Yeah.
person. I think you have been that person for a long time for a lot of people. Like you told me, like I need to embrace comedy. How long does it take me? Let's see. 30 next year? She's on her way. She's on her way. She's almost there. But like it took me a while because I'm like, well, I just want to be like Home and Away. I just want to be in drama. But you got me where I needed to be. So that's
You
something
found your
special.
authentic self. Sorry. Yeah.
It doesn't
Thank
come
you.
easy for people though, like to do what you
It's not
are
easy.
doing, like, and to not have it be something just for your own personal gain. Do you know what I mean? Does that sound bad? Like, I feel like there's a lot of people out there that do it for their own like gain. Do you know what I mean? Not for
No,
an
it's
authentic
just like it,
reason.
that's why I got emotional when you said it, because I was like, yeah, I've almost done it sometimes to my detriment, you know.
Oh my God.
I didn't mean to cry, but
Mean to make you cry. Oh my God, no, can't. It's
But that's who I am. That's always been who I am. You know, I don't have that. How do you make the world a better place? Is all that I've wanted to do. And you make the world a better place because you help the people that are within it. And my connection has come through storytelling, through film, through music, through the arts, through dance. And so this is how I know how to help people, you know. And it is hard because, you know, people can and they do take advantage of that, and people have high expectations that sometimes you're not able to meet, and there's a lot of like hardships that come with that, but at the same time, there's a lot of really great opportunities that come with that. And you know, watching you do this right now, for example, 100 episodes, you know what I mean? Like to say that I was a part of that, helping you find your voice and
Yeah, because
helping you
I
do
was in
this
a
is.
stuck place. Like I'd just come back from LA being like, what the fuck? Like no job, no nothing. Do you know what I mean? Just pack up like we're in a war, like within 3 days, fly home, and then you've got to deal with this freaking disease, like, you know, whatever it was, like pandemic, and you're just and you don't know what to do, where to go, like you can't do anything. And that's the thing. I think you're someone who can identify what people need without them realizing what they need until they're doing it and then they click like, oh yeah. Because this has opened a new thing for me. Like I was all like acting, film, nothing else. And then I knew that I had an interest in like journalism or whatever it is, but I knew that it wasn't like hard news journalism. And I'm not really into that. But entertainment journalism, for sure, I could talk for days. Like, I've always been someone that can talk for days. So that's what I mean. You're good at spotting that. So it's interesting how you learned to do that. Or is it you just throughout life just had that?
Yeah, I think honestly, I probably see a part of myself in other people, and I recognize how to give them an opening to something different, you know. And I honestly do. I think that's who I was, you know, is someone that was very alone. And, you know, going through a lot of things, and I didn't really feel like anyone saw me for me. And then through all this work, I just managed to look at somebody, or I'm hearing somebody talk, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I see you. Do you know what I mean? I do. It's like Amy Chapey saying, I hear you. I hear you. Thank you, Amy. Thank you for
Like
hearing
it's
me.
crazy. Like what she did to
Yeah.
you, like not even in a bad way, but what she did to you, like she did to me, and I was like freaking crying with the name thing. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
And anyone that's taken her class knows exactly what we're talking about. Like, this was like a weird thing that she, like, yeah, it's like a gift that she would have. And you just,
And
you're
you don't
finding this
understand
version
it.
of
You're like,
yourself.
why? Like, why am I like crying over like not being able to, or like struggling to say my name in an American accent? Like, it doesn't seem as a big deal, but it's just insane what you're attached to, or the things that you have, the habits that you have, developed, and how you've grown up can come down to
Your
literally,
identity. It's
yeah,
all about your
trying to change
identity.
the tone of voice, or how you speak can cause
Yeah.
such a big thing.
100%. 100%.
But you're doing like crazy stuff, so you've kind of just like, you've become this Oprah of the world. So I want to know what
Not
you're up
yet, but
to. Yeah,
I'll take the
you've just
compliment.
won this
Yeah.
prestigious award. So like, let's just go with that. This is the thing. You're Oprah. What are you up to now? Because I know that you've taken a step back from after a little bit. Like, you're more overseeing things. You're not as intensely
Yeah, not as in the
classes like
day to
you were.
days, but I'm actually, well, like, fun fact, and welcome to the world of entertainment. So I had another job. I was heading up in production, which was really exciting. And then the company, and this is great for all the artists to know about the realities. Then the company decided to switch agendas, basically as a whole. They were, and turn into an AI animation company. And as a direct result, I lost my job because I know nothing about AI animation. So,
I don't think
look, it was.
anyone does. Like, it's such a freaking insane thing right now.
Yeah, it's like, it's definitely. Yeah, it's definitely it was different. But what was amazing is the one of the head producers in that company that who was actually the founder of the company, she kind of was a bit the same and was like, well, I don't want to, I want to keep moving on. I want to, go back into film and TV because that was her passion. And so she, essentially was like, look, why don't we start another company? So her and I are now teaming up and we're producing Rockwell Media. Well, we're building a production company called Rockwell Media Partners. I obviously have diversity pictures that I do, and I have like a brand new mentorship program that I've started with that. I have five girls from Australia who are purely on filmmaking and actually very much heavily into filmmaking specifically, and like working towards visas and stuff like that, which was called the Artist Lab. And yeah, I've kind of now am sitting in this sort of hybrid land where I'm actually back teaching. I taught my first class at AFTA that I taught in like 2 years because I'm also a
You
mum,
have.
which is also a big change,
Oh,
by the
yes,
way.
you
Another
are.
big change.
Oh my God, we forgot to mention Seth. Oh my
I
God.
am a mummy.
There's so many things.
So I am now like basically living in this world. We are, especially after this awards come from AFTA, I think in the basis of rebuilding the school to be a hybrid school, I think this is where our focus is going to be, which is, filmmaking and acting. I think that's where we're going to live. And obviously same with dance. We have, dancers that we still want to incorporate performing arts and singing, and that's been coming a lot through my mentorship programs. But yeah, I'm still doing some odds bits and pieces there. But mainly right now I'm working on production. I'm developing original ideas with a lot of young filmmakers, including yourself, like around Australia. These are very talented women with great ideas and great thing, and talking about that belief system that I have, and I want to keep seeing them grow and build out their dream TV shows or films and create those opportunities. And for those that want to move here, I still want to help be a pathway for them being able to do that. So that's where I'm sticking at the moment, and ultimately getting these productions off the ground. We're hopefully through Rockwell going to build out this really exciting initiative to shoot five feature films in Australia over 5 years, which is a big thing that we want to do. So that's our goal. So we have our projects that we're working towards right now, and we're gonna meet with the powers that be in Australia and see where we can go with that. But that would be the ideal if I could picture the next chapter, especially with my son who is being able to go home and shoot in Australia so that I can that my son can spend time with his grandparents and,
It's
you
so
know, and his
surreal
uncle.
still. Why is it so surreal to me that, like, you're a mum? And, like, maybe because I
That's
haven't
surreal to
met
me too.
Steph yet. Like, I feel like this is just not normal. But it's weird. I don't know why. Why is it weird, Jess? Could it be
Well, it
because
is
I've
weird.
known you for your, like, for so long, but you were, like, not a mum? But
Yeah,
you're
but
a
I
mum
was.
in so many other ways, though.
That's what I was saying. I'm a
You've
mum to
been a
you. You
mum
have been a
for like
mum to like
10, for
everyone.
yeah, you've been a mum for like 20 years.
Yeah, I actually have, though. I have.
You
Just, yeah,
actually
not to
have.
my own flesh and blood. Yeah.
But
So it.
do
I haven't
you?
found being a mum hard at all.
Yeah.
It's. I
But
found.
you always have that nurturing side anyway. I don't think you.
Yeah. I've been blessed, you know, and my son is honestly the most smiley, happy
So
kid
cute.
that, you know, who wouldn't want to be blessed with that?
When
So
you
I feel
told me,
like.
I knew immediately. When you're like, so are you gonna get on a Zoom? I'm like, you never tell me to get on Zoom unless I'm telling you to be on Zoom. And then I'm like, I just knew it. And you know, the weirdest thing is like, you just like when you, it's so weird. I've always had this thing, and people can laugh. But I've always had like a sixth sense where I'm like, I know something before someone's gonna tell me. It's very weird. That's why I'm like, I'm not delusional. I'm about to be in a film with Jennifer Lopez. She doesn't know it yet, but I know it. I know it.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, she's look, you never know, Zoe. And
I
again,
predict things
be
though.
that
Like I'm.
dreamer. You don't give up on that dream. You don't
Yeah,
give up
I'm
on that
not. I
dream.
predict things. I predict things, but I feel like that is also a lot of things that artists have in common. Like you can, they have that sense. I feel like you have it too.
I
Have you
definitely
had
have good
that? You have
instincts.
that.
I definitely have, I do. I have good instincts with, you know, certain things. Others I wish I had better. But yeah, definitely have like good instincts when it comes to like things, you know, just knowing something. I don't know. Yeah, today I have to trust in the universe more. I think today is kind of that
Yeah.
day for me. It's teaching me to trust in today. Every day is a new day, but today is trust in the universe. Believe that good things do happen to good people. And you know, and know that, you know, everything is going to be okay. That's
Yeah.
like my motto is right now.
Well, I mean, to end, how, if you were to tell yourself, your 20-year-old self, when you know, moved to LA, spent the year there, and then came back, if you could tell them one thing that you know now, or you wish you could have told them back then, what would you say?
Oh, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't take life for granted. Don't take your relationships for granted. Don't take kindness for granted. Because the world is a very unpredictable place, and people are even more unpredictable. And you never know what's going to happen. And one day you might have one thing, next day you may not, and those things. So just, you know, being able to be in the moment and not think so much about what may not be there or what you're looking for. And I would say this to myself, but I would say this to anybody, and just live in the fact that you have what you have. And you are who you are right now at this moment. And the people that are around you, the people are around you, and it's important to, you know,
Definitely.
to be with them and be present with them.
Yeah.
That's what life's about.
And do you still have the belief that with the world change, how it's changed since COVID, do you still have the belief that if you can come over to LA?
Oh, 100%. I would say to people, please don't drink, make a joke, but don't drink the Kool-Aid and listen to everyone tell you that you need to do things a certain way, because they do. They're all like, you know, go to certain schools or go to college. I mean, in America, it's college is the big thing, you know, but you know, do that for 3 years and then do everything that nothing needs to ever be done the generic way. Everyone's journey is different. And if LA is calling for you, then, you know, you need to follow that and find people that are going to help you make that dream a reality. Know that it's going to be hard. Don't expect it to be easy, because if you expect it to be easy, you will be disappointed. However, there are people like myself and my husband, you know, and Amy Chafee, if she's listening. But there are people like that that will go out of their way to help you.
Yeah, definitely. And
And
I can
you
vouch for
know.
that. Every teacher that you've had, honestly, like majority of the teachers are always there and they still connect with us now. Like Matt Barry, Amy Deshays, like, do you know what I mean? It's there's those teachers, those core teachers that are just got to be there. Even the ones that come in and they pop in for, you know, a day class or something, they're still, you can still contact them.
Yeah.
So, but you have to work on those relationships as well. Can't just be like out of nowhere, be like, I need this, I need that. That's not good either. But having
Exactly.
that, those relationships will help in LA as well.
Yeah, it does. Well, relationships are everything in LA, and that's why it's very important that you nurture them.
Definitely.
And you just never know. I mean, that's everything for the industry. I'll say that's for the industry. That's for your career, no matter what realm we're talking about. Yeah. It's
Sure.
really important.
Well,
So
thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
thank you so much for having me, Zoe.
It's been fun. It's been a hoot.
Has. It
Love
has.
ya.
Love you too. And congratulations on 100 episodes. It's an
Thank
amazing
you.
achievement.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for showing face to the name that we've been speaking about since 2020. It's actually been since 2020 that like you've been spoken about, haven't been on, and I'm like, oh my God, surely 100 episodes, it needs to happen. But it's very fitting.
Great. Well,
Co-founder.
thank you. Love it.
You heard it here.
Appreciate
Co-founder.
it.
Alrighty, well,
All
thank you
right.
so much, and I love you, and I'll hopefully be able to see you soon
Me too.
in
Me too,
person
honey.
so I can meet
Yeah, me
Seth.
too.
It's crazy.
Yes. I know. All right.
Right,
Okay.
bye.
Bye. Thanks, honey.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find us on whatever podcast platform you use, and while you're there, please leave us a comment, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.